Imagine you're about 50 feet underwater.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, just picture it. The only sound is that rhythmic, sort of mechanical hiss and bubble of your own breathing through a regulator. You're hovering weightless over this beautiful reef, and right in front of you spot it.
Let me guess. A shark.
No, a
Yeah.
vibrantly colored clownfish.
Oh.
And it's darting frantically in and out of the stinking tentacles of a sea anemone.
Right, classic.
So you pull up your underwater camera, you frame the shot, and click. And you're probably going to put that photo on Instagram or maybe make it your phone background.
As you do.
Right. But marine biologists are actively begging you to put it in their database instead, because that single ordinary vacation snapshot is actually a crucial data point for a global climate change study.
It really is.
Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to explore how the everyday hobby of recreational scuba diving is, like, quietly being transformed into this massive engine for global marine research.
It's completely disrupting how we monitor the health of our oceans.
Totally. And to get into this, we've got a great stack of sources today. We're looking at a really impactful article excerpt about the diver's role in marine research, alongside some campaign materials and images from the Reef World Foundation and Green Fins.
Which really show exactly how this process works in the water.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about this topic because it totally flips the script on what it takes to be a quote-unquote scientist. By the end of this deep dive, you are going to look at your hobbies, whether that's underwater or on land, in a completely different light.
I mean, we are so used to thinking of scientific research as this walled-off, highly exclusive discipline.
Right, like if someone says marine biologist, my immediate thought is someone in a wetsuit, but they're on a huge research vessel with, like, a clipboard and surrounded by incredibly expensive machinery.
Exactly. Or relying on massive academic grants. We just assume that to collect usable scientific data, you need a PhD in this highly funded, specific mission.
The most striking claim from our source text completely dismantles that assumption, doesn't it?
It does.
Right.
It points out that citizen science in the ocean doesn't require extra training. It doesn't require specialist equipment.
Which is wild.
Right. You don't even have to go on a separate conservation-focused dive. The campaign images from Green Fins show this perfectly.
Oh, yeah, the one with the diver giving the fist pump.
Yes. They're holding a fairly standard consumer-level underwater camera rig. They aren't holding lasers or acoustic mapping equipment.
Yeah, they're just swimming and taking photos like normal.
Exactly, doing what recreational divers always do.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit because I have to push back just a little.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm looking at another image in our stack. The diver snapping a photo of that huge moray eel with its mouth wide open.
Oh, that's a great shot.
It is a really cool picture. But, taking a slightly blurry vacation photo of an eel isn't exactly rigorous science, is it? Like, how does a random snapshot on a waterproof GoPro pass for actual methodology? Why is this framed as such an urgent movement?
Well, what's fascinating here is that science, at its absolute core, is simply organized observation.
Okay.
The scientific rigor doesn't have to happen at the exact precise moment your camera shutter clicks on that eel.
Interesting. So the diver isn't the one doing the rigorous part.
Right. The value isn't in trying to teach a million recreational tourists how to run a complex biological assay. I mean, that would be impossible to scale.
Yeah, nobody wants to do homework on vacation.
Exactly. The real value is in harnessing and redirecting an existing recreational habit. You already love looking at things underwater, and you already love taking pictures. The barrier to entry has intentionally been eliminated.
Wait, is this basically like crowdsourced traffic apps for the ocean?
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Yeah, like when you're driving your normal commute, your app is just passively transmitting your speed and location. You don't need a degree in urban planning to help the app tell everyone else where the traffic jams are. You're just driving.
That is a phenomenal way to look at it. But we have to look at the mechanics of why that underwater photo is so valuable. Because when you take a digital photo, you aren't just capturing an image of a fish.
Right, there's the metadata.
Exactly. The camera creates a file packed with EXIF data. And that includes a highly precise timestamp and, in many modern waterproof cameras or phones, exact GPS coordinates.
Oh, wow. So the image file itself is like a self-contained data packet.
Yes,
It's
exactly.
basically saying this specific species of moray eel was at this exact latitude and longitude on Tuesday at 2:15 p.m.
You've got it. The rigor comes from how that observation is categorized, verified, and analyzed later by a broader database. Science isn't just about the tools you use, it's about what you do with the observations you make.
But that brings up a glaring paradox for me.
What's that?
Well, we live in an era of unbelievable technology, right? We have satellites, we have deep-sea aquatic drones, we have AI that processes millions of data points a second.
We do.
So, are highly funded marine biologists genuinely still desperate for human eyeballs on a reef? Like, is amateur GoPro footage from a tourist genuinely valuable, or is this just a nice way to make divers feel good about their vacations?
Oh no, they are completely desperate for it. If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to understand the sheer mind-boggling physical limitations of studying the ocean.
Because it's just so big.
It covers over 70% of the planet, it's constantly moving, and much of it is largely inaccessible. Think about the paradox you just mentioned, a $50 million satellite versus a tourist on vacation.
Right. It seems like the satellite would win every time.
Technology is incredible at scale. That satellite can map the surface temperature of the entire Pacific Ocean in a single afternoon. But that same satellite absolutely cannot tell you the precise health of a single brain coral sitting under a rock ledge in Indonesia.
Ah, right, because it can't see through 50 feet of water.
Exactly.
What about the underwater drones? Why can't we just deploy fleets of AI-driven machines to just map the reefs for us?
Well, because AI and machine vision struggle immensely with the hyperlocal nuance of an underwater environment.
Really? I feel like AI is so advanced now.
It is, on land. But a reef system isn't a flat parking lot. It's a three-dimensional labyrinth. And furthermore, water absorbs light, starting with the red and orange ends of the spectrum.
Oh yeah, everything starts looking super blue and gray as you go deeper.
Exactly. And when you deploy a drone with a camera, it frequently gets confused by backscatter.
Backscatter? What's that?
It's when the camera's light reflects off floating particles in the water, so the image ends up looking like a snowstorm.
Oh, right. I've seen that in my own underwater videos. It just looks super dusty.
Yeah. So a machine vision algorithm trained in a clear, well-lit laboratory frequently fails to recognize, say, a specific piece of plastic debris tangled in a sea fan because the color spectrum is completely distorted at depth and the water is full of backscatter.
But the human brain automatically color corrects. Like, when you're down there, your intuition kicks in. You just know that a plastic wrapper shouldn't be wrapped around a sea fan, even if the entire scene is tinted blue.
Precisely. Your brain is performing complex contextual analysis that AI currently cannot match underwater. A drone mapping a reef might miss the early signs of coral bleaching, or it might miss an invasive lionfish hiding in a shadow because its stripes blend in.
But a human notices that something looks off.
Exactly. Your human intuition recognizes the anomaly.
You know, the text overlay on one of our source images, the one with the clownfish, actually reads, "Much of the ocean remains underdocumented. Researchers can't be everywhere at once, but divers can."
And that's the core of it. Divers provide real-time ground-level truth. Researchers desperately need that human adaptability because they simply do not have the funding or the personnel to maintain a permanent physical presence on every single reef in the world.
So literally, your vacation is their fieldwork.
It really is.
Okay, so we've established that divers are filling in these massive geographical gaps. But an isolated observation on your memory card doesn't automatically save the ocean?
No, it doesn't.
How does that localized data point, like one photo of an eel, actually translate into meaningful global conservation? Like, how do we get from a snapshot to an ecological story?
Well, there's another image in our sources that perfectly captures this. It shows a diver swimming amidst this massive, almost overwhelming school of silverfish. And the text says, over time, the data tells a story.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because a single photo of a fish is just a word, right? But millions of photos logged by thousands of divers over a decade, that creates a novel.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
It's like a pointillism painting. Up close, a single dot of paint is meaningless. But when you step back and look at millions of overlapping dots, they reveal a high-definition image. But how is this richer dataset actually applied by researchers in the real world? How do they use it to fight climate change?
Let's look at species migration, for example. Say you take a photo of a specific tropical parrotfish off the coast of Florida. That's a baseline dot on the painting.
Okay.
But what happens when, 5 years later, thousands of divers start uploading photos of that exact same species of tropical parrotfish, but now the GPS metadata places those fish hundreds of miles north off the coast of the Carolinas?
Oh, wow. The pointillism painting is showing the fish physically moving.
Yes. That richer data set is the only way scientists can spot these macro trends with undeniable visual proof. They can physically track a species migrating to cooler waters because the equatorial reefs are becoming too warm for them to survive.
So they aren't just taking a census of fish. They are mapping the biological fallout of rising sea temperatures.
Exactly. The isolated observation is a puzzle piece. The data set is the complete picture.
The sources also mention that this data tracks coral health. But how does a diver mechanically prove that a coral reef is dying just by swimming past it? I mean, I wouldn't know a sick coral from a healthy one.
Well, it comes down to monitoring the specific mechanism of coral bleaching. When ocean temperatures spike, corals experience severe stress. And to survive, they expel the zooxanthellae.
What?
The microscopic symbiotic algae living inside their tissues. That algae is what gives corals their vibrant colors, and it actually provides their primary food source through photosynthesis.
Oh, so they just kick out their own food supply.
Yeah, it's a stress response. And when the algae is expelled, the coral's white calcium carbonate skeleton is exposed. It bleaches.
So researchers are literally just looking for white coral in the background of your selfie.
No, actually, they're looking for the transition over time, long before it turns completely white. Yeah. And this is where platforms like CoralWatch come in.
Ah, CoralWatch. That's one of the databases highlighted in the sources.
Right. So with CoralWatch, you don't just take a generic photo. You actually take a specialized color chart down with you.
Wait, like a paint swatch card from a hardware store?
Yeah, kind of like that. You hold this chart up to the coral, and you match the specific hue of the coral's tissue to a color code on the card.
Oh, that is fascinating. So the data point isn't just, this looks pale. The data point is, this specific coral head went from a vibrant D4 on the color scale to a severely faded D2 over a three-month period.
Exactly. And when hundreds of divers do that on the same reef week after week, scientists can watch the colors fade in a slow motion time lapse. They have quantifiable proof of the stress level of that reef without ever having to fly a researcher out to measure it themselves.
Which perfectly transitions us to the infrastructure of action. Because now that we understand the macro level impact, how does an ordinary diver actually plug their personal puzzle piece into that global picture?
Well, the sources provide a very specific toolbox for this.
Right. They highlight platforms like iNaturalist, ReefCheck, CoralWatch, and the PetitAware Conservation Action Portal. These are the bridges between the diver and the database.
And the variety of these platforms is intentional. You know, it allows you to choose your level of involvement.
So if I just want to casually take photos,
then you'd use an app like iNaturalist. You just upload your photo of that moray eel. And even if you don't know what exact subspecies it is, the community on the app, which includes actual marine biology grad students, will verify the species for you.
And once it's verified, it goes into the global scientific databases.
Exactly. But the sources also suggest taking it a step further if you want to. They encourage you to ask your local dive operator if they run a citizen science program, or even to start one yourself.
Oh, yeah. There's that great image in the stack depicting a diver hovering low in a dense green seagrass bed. They're carefully writing notes on an underwater clipboard. It's such a striking visual of someone actively doing the work.
That image illustrates a program like ReefCheck. Instead of just swimming around freely, you might lay down a 50-meter tape measure along the reef, which is known as a transect line.
Okay, so you're following a set path.
Right. You swim slowly along that line and tally every specific indicator species you see, like how many grouper, how many sea urchins, instances of coral disease. You are actually conducting a standardized ecological survey.
So what does this all mean for the listener? Like, if you're planning a tropical trip or even just a weekend trip to a local lake, it seems like the hashtags from the source, hashtag sustainable diving and hashtag dive with purpose, aren't just social media trends.
No, not at all.
They feel like a call to change diving culture itself.
Oh.
How does knowing this change the dynamic between a tourist and a dive operator?
This raises an important question about our responsibility as consumers of nature. For decades, the dynamic between a tourist and a dive operator was purely transactional.
You pay money, the operator takes you to a pretty reef, you look at the fish to be entertained, and you go home.
Exactly. The ocean was treated as an underwater theme park. But the existence of this infrastructure, the fact that iNaturalist and PetitAware are sitting right there on your phone, flips that dynamic entirely.
Because the tools are already built. The source text explicitly states that the data is literally just waiting to be collected.
Right. And knowing that your observations have tangible value to global climate studies, it shifts your identity. You go from being a passive tourist seeking entertainment into an active steward of the marine environment.
It makes it a lot harder to justify just being a spectator, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And it changes how the entire industry operates. If you start choosing your dive operators based on whether they partner with Greenfins or if they submit data to ReefCheck, Those operators now have a financial incentive to protect their local reefs.
Ah, so you're voting with your wallet too.
Exactly. The industry is held to a higher standard because your own standard for why you are getting in the water has evolved. You're an active participant in the survival of the ecosystem you're visiting.
And I think what makes this so compelling is that you don't have to sacrifice the thrill of the hobby to do this. You are still diving. You're still exploring shipwrecks and coral walls. You're still taking cool photos.
You're just giving those photos a job to do when you get back to the surface.
You're utilizing the tools of recreation to perform the duties of conservation.
Perfectly said.
Let's pull all of this together because this journey through the sources really redefines who gets to participate in global research. We started by dismantling the myth of the scientist diver. You don't need a lab coat or a PhD or millions of dollars in academic grants to generate vital marine data.
Yeah, you really don't.
Because the ocean is simply too vast for professional scientists to monitor alone. The scientific community is actively relying on everyday people to fill in these critical gaps.
Especially because the limitations of AI and satellite technology mean that human intuition, your ability to spot an anomaly or recognize coral bleaching or find a plastic wrapper, is currently irreplaceable.
Right. So by simply logging your photos and observations into existing global platforms, you are providing the individual dots for that massive pointillism painting. You are actively helping track the macro trends of climate change in real time.
The barrier between the amateur hobbyist and the rigorous scientist has basically been removed by the phone in your pocket.
And here's the thing. Even if you never strap on a scuba tank in your life, the mechanics of this deep dive still apply directly to you. This whole movement proves that ordinary people have the power to democratize science and protect the environments they love to visit. Which brings us to a final, lingering thought to ponder.
It really makes you question what the future of outdoor recreation looks like.
Exactly. If platforms now exist to seamlessly turn our recreational vacation photos into vital climate data, are we entering a new era where the concept of the amateur hobbyist will completely disappear? Think about it. Whether you're diving, bird watching, or just hiking a local trail and snapping a picture of a weird bug on your phone, is it possible that in the near future, every single outdoor activity will inherently map the natural world? Are we all destined to become a global network of unintentional scientists, where every step you take outside becomes a vital data point for the survival of the planet? Definitely something to think about the next time you're 50 feet underwater, watching that clownfish, and your finger hovers over the shutter of your camera.